Welcome to the Square Peg Show, episode 27 for October 15th, 2014. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
We got a lot of news to catch up on. We haven't done an episode since September, and New York Comic Con was last weekend.
Yes, it was.
And just a very kind of busy time in the entertainment industry for news. And we have a lot of reviews. We're going to do a bunch of quick reviews towards the end. Mm. So let's go ahead and get started. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the sequel.
What?
Oh, you haven't been paying attention.
Oh, my God, I have not been. Is it directed by Ang Lee?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, I don't know much about the plot or the specifics of the movie, but the thing that's been making the headlines a lot is the fact that it's going to be released a really unique way. Netflix is going to release it the same time that the theater release date is.
What?
And the reasoning is that they want it because it's like IMAX. It's going to be an IMAX thing. Or watch it on your phone or your tablet or your computer or your TV thing.
Worldwide release.
Yeah. And what happened is a lot of theater owners said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because they're worried, like survival mode here.
Hell yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like a paradigm shift or anything.
I don't either. I mean,
there's no money in it.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is the thing about that. I mean, it's a cool idea. It's a novel idea for me. But I'm going to go watch it on the big screen because that's where I want to see that kind of a movie. It's a gorgeous movie, and I will defend Crouching Tiger to my dying day, and I've had to do that a lot because a lot of people didn't like that movie. But
I haven't heard any resistance to it.
I loved that movie when I saw it. I saw it, you know, in the theater. As a matter of fact, we were late to the theater. It was at the big giant movie screen in Orange Park or something like that. And we were late, so we had to sit all the way up front. The whole thing was subtitled. You had to like move your head back and forth just to read everything. But I love that movie because Ang Lee makes gorgeous, gorgeous movies.
Yeah, he's really a good director.
So that's where I'm going to go, for sure.
And I think that's the rationale. Like, hey, you can watch it on your phone, but why don't you throw down the $10 and see it the way it should be in an IMAX thing? So I haven't followed like every detail, but I think it's like, you know, AMC, these major ones would be like, no, we're just not going to show it.
Right.
But if it's an IMAX specific place, like the one that's nearby us, I bet they're going to show it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will go there just like I want to see Interstellar in November, the new Chris Nolan movie via IMAX.
Right.
Now, switching over to that real quick.
D was actually talking about Interstellar, and I don't remember if we talked about this last episode or something that we were talking about seeing it. I don't remember saying, yeah, let's go watch it, but he seemed to remember me saying that. I should probably go back and listen to that episode. But
we talked about it off podcast.
Oh, that's probably what
like
it was.
In real
IRL. Okay. well, yeah, I mean, I've only seen a little bit of the trailer, but it looked interesting. I mean,
so here's the headline I wanted to share with you. Interstellar will debut early in traditional non-digital film. Like, if there's still a theater that runs regular film and not digital, you could maybe have Interstellar a couple days earlier. I think Chris Nolan's trying to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Because there is an art form to that.
Absolutely.
Do you have a strong impression about that? Like, would you? I mean, I'd rather just stay for IMAX, personally.
I'll be honest with you. Having worked at a movie theater for 5 years and doing actual film work for a few of those 5 years, I love doing that, personally, dealing with the whole movie. You know, you got to move that big bastard. And I like the fact that I could splice stuff together. I thought that was cool. Now you get a hard drive in the mail, apparently, and they just plug it in. It's encoded somehow or another, and then it just plays.
But as a viewer, do you feel like it's different? It does have like an authenticity maybe to it, but I don't know. I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
I can't say it's going to be like a super retro throwback or something, but yeah, why not? Shit. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that our local theater right here in this hometown, or our hometown, has digital theaters, so you know, maybe they'll get it. Maybe this crappy-ass town will have it before everyone else does.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
One one bad trend in TV now is to try to take any old movie and turn it into a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the idea of having a Say Anything TV series until Cameron Crowe tweeted about, we're trying to do everything we can to stop it. And then NBC killed it. John Cusack and Cameron Crowe are like, why?
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 Don't do that. Do not do that.
Showtime ordered Twin Peaks to come back in 2016. This is 25 years later it gets picked up again. This kind of goes back to that trend. It doesn't matter when your show ended.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come back. And I think that's a really interesting
I never
phenomenon.
Really watched Twin Peaks.
It's a really weird show, really freaky, kind of like a supernatural. It can kind of creep you out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that I didn't see all of it, but I'll probably check out the old episodes. And it's David Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myst could become a TV series.
Oh, my God.
You remember this?
I do remember Myst, yeah.
It was a huge phenomenon.
The sequel was, what, Riven?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did five of them.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
It started off on CD-ROM, then DVD-ROM. Mm-hmm. Huge hit in the early to mid-90s. But the thing is, Myst, how do you make that into a TV show? It didn't have any characters, hardly.
You know what? The same way they're going to make Minecraft into a movie. It's going to happen with The Rock, and The Rock's going to be in Myst. That's just all there is to it. It's going to happen.
And then, of course, that Tetris movie you've been joking about.
Oh, my God. Listen, if they can make a battleship movie, they can make a Tetris movie. It's going to be a bunch of Russian generals who have, like, falling pieces, and they're going to have to, like, shoot them down and move entire continents to out of the way of the... Oh, God. And that one song is going to be playing over and over.
I was picturing, like, you know, the... What's that movie theater jingle about? Let's all go to the lobby.
Yes.
Like, you know, Tetris with, like, little pieces, arms and legs attached. Those being the characters. That's how I would make a Tetris movie. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Dwayne Johnson will star in Baywatch, which is an action movie now.
Whoa, wait, what? Like, yeah. Baywatch as in slow motion running with bikinis?
Yeah.
Huh. I have no opinion on that.
I have a negative opinion on that.
You know what? It's either The Rock or David Hasselhoff. Which one do you want?
Oh. Did you ever watch this show, The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret?
No.
Okay, and that show's coming back for a third season. Mm. At the end of this, starring David Cross.
I do like David Cross.
He was a Thunder Muscle spokesperson, like a soft drink spokesperson, and it's one of the darkest.
Post-apocalyptic third season.
Yeah, because The Increasingly Poor Decisions, yes. He wound up arming nuclear weapons at the end of season two. Spoilers, sorry. But all the episodes are on Netflix. It's really a creative show.
I'll have to check that out.
I'm glad it's coming back. Oh, Ghostbusters. Have you heard about this? Instead of doing Ghostbusters 3, they're rebooting Ghostbusters. Paul Feig from Freaks and Geeks and Bridesmaids is directing it. And it's going to have an all-female cast.
I did see something about Gillian Anderson.
I heard she's lobbying to get a job.
She was like, I'm funny, gosh damn it, or something.
Now, I was apprehensive until I heard reboot. I don't think a Ghostbusters 3 would be very good.
No, it would not.
I was also apprehensive about the whole concept. But you always go back to the idea, it matters who the talent is.
Yes.
He's a funny guy, Paul Feig. Mm-hmm. He can do a good job. I mean, there are people like Ernie Hudson saying, I don't think, what's the point of having an all-female? I hope they're sexy and their proton packs and everything. But the point is, you know, there are... It's a wait and see. Thing.
Yeah, that's just, to me, that's just a novelty. It's like, hey, it's Ghostbusters, but wait, there's more. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck you. Come on, dude. Leave that shit alone. It's fine.
Still leave it on the table.
It is an absolute classic that no one should ever mess with ever again. It's going to be another one of those things that we just throw to the wayside like it never happened. Kind of like the Nintendo game or the Extreme Ghostbusters cartoon. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
No. Why? Why do you remember those?
Well, not the game, but the cartoons. Yeah. Sure. After the unfortunate passing of Harold Ramis, a lot of people are saying, Ivan Reitman, I think his name is, director, he was like, no, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Plus, you should leave certain things.
I swear to God, if they made that movie and they had the ghost of Harold Ramis, I would burn the theater on the way out. I'm not kidding, dude. Oh, Jesus.
That would be in very poor taste.
Be like Egon and Slimer hanging out. Hey, guys.
This is something people have been wanting for a long time. HBO finally allowing to do HBO Go.
Oh, thank God.
Without paying outrageous fees.
Without paying the cable subscription.
Yeah, because you and I are both cord cut. Yes. We don't pay for TV. Mm-mm. And I would pay a monthly fee until I watch all the HBO shows.
Right.
And a couple months later, I'd probably like drop the subscription.
Well, I mean, to me, that's one of those things. It's like, you know, I pay for Netflix. I would completely pay for HBO Go to have those shows. I mean, Game of Thrones is one of our favorite things ever. And... I mean, I'll be honest. I'll be right out here on the internet. I steal the shit out of that show because I can't afford to pay for 60-plus channels plus the premium channels just to watch Game of Thrones. It's not going to happen. So I'm going to steal the shit out of that show until I can feel good about myself and give them, you know, $9, $10 a month, $12 a month to watch HBO Go. It's the same thing with ESPN. I mean, the Watch ESPN app, you know. I'm not the biggest sports fan. My wife loves football. I would totally have a subscription for that for her. But, no, guess what? You got to have a fucking cable subscription. So,
and here's another Netflix story, since they're kind of, you know, they're huge. I mean, yes. So many things revolve around Netflix. We finally got some more information about Daredevil.
I was going to talk about Daredevil.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson likely going to play Night Nurse,
one
of the kind of quirkier characters, where she patches up superheroes that, you know, if they're her or whatever, it's kind of like underground thing. Although I hear her character will be kind of tied to the Power Man character, or Luke Cage character.
Luke Cage.
Yeah. But anyway, they revealed that, and they had
the biggest
at New York Comic Con.
Kingpin.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio seemed like he gained a lot of weight.
Oh, my
God. I think
he's
going to be a really good Kingpin.
Dude, I love Vincent D'Onofrio anyway. I'm a big fan of that guy. I loved him in Law & Order. I loved him in Full Metal Jacket. Big fan of this guy. He could totally rock the shit out of that part, I think. Vincent D'Onofrio is awesome. Big fan. Holy crap. When I saw that on my phone, I was at work, and I came in to where the rest of my coworkers were, and I was squealing like a girl. It was awesome.
They're going to hold off on the Lego movie, too, so that they can do Lego Batman
mm-hmm. as Heard a full feature. Too, yeah.
That should be great.
Yep.
Because he was the breakout star.
Yes, he was.
I think they're still going to plan
Darkness.
Plan to do Lego movie.
No parents.
Down the line. Walking Dead is still a huge hit. Last Sunday's episode, biggest ratings ever, and that show has been around 4 years or so. Have you watched it yet?
I actually haven't. I'm thinking about watching it tonight.
Okay.
So we shall see. We have been catching up on, I mean, we've been rewatching the previous seasons.
I mean, I've said before, it's not my show, and I could go into why, but anyway. All right, so let's get into the biggest news. This news broke today. DC has announced the names of 9 more movies that they're going to do, or Warner, I should say. So let me bring that article up, and here we go. Here's the full schedule. Take a good look at this. And below this, by the way, 2016, 2018, 2020, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is a Harry Potter spinoff. I hadn't heard of that. So that they're going to do a trilogy of that. Hmm. And then they got like a 3-part Lego plan. Lego Ninjago?
Yeah, Ninjago.
Lego Batman and Lego Movie 2. So they released all this in a stockholders meeting after New York Comic Con. And check out, I don't know if you have you had a chance to look at this chart yet?
No, not yet.
All right. So look at the years are coming out and the movies that are coming out. Let me know what you think.
All right. 2016, we have Batman v Superman, Trial of Justice or whatever it was.
Right.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that property?
Negative.
Suicide Squad is actually a pretty cool idea. It's the idea that a bunch of DC villains are hired as mercenaries to do missions for the government. and it's kind of cool. You got like Deathstroke in there and all these other kind of bad guys. And I think it would make a great movie. But I was surprised by some of their other picks.
Let's see. They got 2017 Wonder Woman gets her own movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well as a Justice League group movie, I'm guessing.
Right.
But then after that, suddenly we have all of our one-offs, like 2018 The Flash and Aquaman.
Uh-huh.
Aquaman's going to have his own movie.
Yep, with Jason Momoa's. Isn't that been confirmed?
Momoa. Really?
Yeah.
As Aquaman.
Yes.
Khal Drogo is going to be Aquaman.
Yes, he will.
2019 Shazam, which we know about.
Which is a surprisingly long wait.
That is quite a
while. Making a lot of headlines that he was just announced as Black Adam, and all of a sudden the movie's going to be 5 years down the line.
As well as Justice League 2. Now, that's...
Now, what my question would be, is Zack Snyder going to film Justice League 1 and 2 at the same time?
And he's going to have to if it's only going to be like 2 years.
Particularly if he has to get Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for both of them.
Yeah.
And then look, they keep releasing more movies after that.
Yeah. Cyborg on 2020, as well as another Green Lantern movie.
I saw a criticism that they're counting their chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Because what if Justice League fails, and all of a sudden they're making a Cyborg movie 5 years after?
Yeah.
This is strange.
Right, that's odd to me anyway, because they're kind of doing this backwards as Marvel did. I mean, Marvel had...
Which could work, theoretically.
Of course. But, I mean, this property, let's bring them all together. This one's like, let's bring them all together, and then we'll have their own kind of things. But how many of those can really hold up on their own? Can Aquaman and Cyborg hold their own movie? I mean...
It seems like no.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
I could see a Shazam movie. I could see a Green Lantern, of course, without fucking Ryan Reynolds.
I think Green Lantern's kind of spent, though. And then The Flash, obviously, would be a different actor and universe than the recently released TV show.
Yes, which, again, doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Uh-huh. So I'm just wondering why they would announce all these at the same time. Because with the Marvel Universe, they actually waited to see if Avengers performed right before they did Phase 2.
Right.
So that was like a 3-year planning thing. I don't get the strategy at all. They announced it,
I mean, you said they had it at a stockholders meeting. I mean, you got to be like, hey, stockholders, look, we got a lot of stuff in the works. You're going to make a lot of money. I don't know. That's a tough one, dude.
This is weird, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that was the big news of today.
It's like it's all culminating to Cyborg in 2020. You know what I mean?
I didn't think about that. It is kind of like, let's do the bigger movies.
Yeah.
They did say there will probably be more Batman and Superman solo movies that they haven't announced yet.
Right.
In
the same Justice League universe or other standalone stuff? Because, I mean, if we're talking about...
Who knows? So anyway, that's that. I do want to move over to something I think is a bit more exciting, is the idea that Robert Downey Jr. will be in Captain America 3.
I saw that, yes.
And potentially a Civil War storyline. Civil War, if you don't know, would be the, I know you know, but if the listeners don't know, would be the one where Captain America is against the idea of I think it's called the Superhero Registration Act.
Which to me always felt like a rehash of X-Men.
Yeah, but they were trying to, like, hunt down and kill people in X-Men.
Well, no, I mean, they had the Mutant Registration Act. That's what it was called. And, you know, that's when all this kind of fighting broke out. And that always felt like just a bigger scale for the same idea.
I guess so. I always thought the stakes were higher for the X-Men storyline. Like, you know, they would be held captive by the government or something like that. For this, I just think that the government wanted to know who's underneath every mask and also maybe have them work more alongside the government. Anyway, Cap was against that Iron Man for it.
Right.
So Robert Downey Jr. will be, although there was a lot of disagreement in upper parts of Marvel, there's this one guy, the president of Marvel, is like a real penny pincher guy. I was actually trying to make sure Downey Jr. doesn't get in there. And Kevin Feige had to argue for Downey Jr. to be in Captain America 3 because it's an important part of the next huge story that they're going to do. Absolutely.
Well, okay. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I got a couple things in mind. Number one is that Spider-Man was a big part of the Civil War storyline. He and Robert Downey Jr. got together, and he was working for him. Or, I'm sorry, Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Peter was working for Tony Stark, ended up with a new suit, all that stuff. That all kind of happened, so there's none of that going to happen, obviously. And then...
Unless you can believe the rumors that Sony and Marvel are trying to work out a deal for it, which this is all just a bunch of rumors.
I keep hoping for that, but I don't see it happening. Sony's going to make too much money. I don't know why they would
Marvel
give
just
it
needs
up.
To buy them out.
They do. No, they absolutely do.
$4 billion at Spider-Man.
They have the money to do it, but are they going to be able to recoup $4 billion?
Yeah. If they can... Robert Downey Jr. apparently, and not to say he isn't worth it, because obviously the market forces... Mm-hmm. You know, deem that Robert Downey Jr. is worth it.
Yes, he is.
That being said, you can always look at the amount somebody makes and go, holy crap, you know? And he apparently has literally earned $300 million since 2008 with Iron Man.
Right.
That's a bunch of movies. And he always asks for he always manages to get the biggest check, you know, so.
But even $300 million isn't close to $4 billion.
Well, that's just for one actor. I'm saying worldwide, all these movies grossing. I'm just saying they probably got $3 or $4 billion to throw around.
I would sincerely hope so, but... To shift gears just for a second, but still on Marvel, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about where Marvel movies are heading, because I got a question about this. And you know, we've had three movies so far that deal with Infinity Stones, so those are now real; those are in the universe. So what we're going to end up doing here is that we have three of the six accounted for. You know, we're going to have Thanos. We know we're going to have an Infinity Gauntlet.
Which you remember the names of all these, right?
Yes. It was space, time, power, wisdom, reality, and then the other one. I don't recall the last.
Okay,
those could have been wrong. I don't know. Anyway, so we got three of the six in movies already. What is this all going to culminate into? What movie are we going to have the fall of Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet? What is this? It can't be Avengers 2. That's way too close.
I always assumed Avengers 3, but now I think, because I always, you know, with movie franchise, I always think about trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they introduced the villain at the very end of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, first I thought it would pay off in the second one.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking maybe the third one. Now they might be even making a bigger plan and doing Avengers 4 for Thanos. I don't know. Especially if, for Avengers 3, we'll deal with the fallout of the alleged Civil War storyline of Captain America 3.
Yeah.
You get all these moving parts, all these storylines you want to do. Would you want to save Thanos for the end? Because to me, you should. He's one of the biggest bads in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me,
will there ever be an end?
Don't even say shit like that. Don't even say, I'm going to have nightmares tonight if you say shit like that. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like everything's funneling toward this. So, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy has been the first one that actually said, hey, this is an Infinity Stone. Now you got to look back on the Tesseract. You got to look back on Thor 2.
Yeah, apparently, like, there's all this conjecture that, like, something was an Infinity Stone in Thor 2.
It was like a stinger scene at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Where, two of the Asgardian guys come to the Collector, actually, and they're like, hey, we have this thing. And he's like, why not hold it in your own vault? They're like, we already have the Tesseract there, and it'd be better not to have two close together. So he was all like, all right, that's one down, five to go, kind of thing.
Well, I think Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, and Robert Downey Jr., I think all their contracts expire with Avengers 3, so perhaps they'll do Thanos there. Marvel, I don't think, would ever recast these people as so much as maybe get other characters to take up the mantle of those, like War Machine or Falcon or something, right? DC, I have a feeling, with the plan that we just announced, that they'll just throw in a new Green Lantern every couple years or something.
Yep.
But
or they'll just say, all right, we're just scrapping this.
Right.
Because Justice League sucked, and we're just going to put a cap on this right now. So anyway, I'm thinking Avengers 3 also. That's going to be way out there. So we got three more to deal with, and I can't wait to see these.
my nerd version paradise is to have Avengers 4 featuring everybody.
Yeah.
The Netflix characters, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Throw in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man and X-Men.
With adamantium.
Fuck it. Why not?
All right. George Clooney showed up at New York Comic Con.
Yeah?
And he's promoting Tomorrowland, which is like a big Brad Bird, Damon Lindelof type Disney movie, you know, based on Tomorrowland.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
So he showed up and said, you know, I've been banned from Comic Con because of Batman and Robin.
As well he should.
Now, we talked about Clooney publicly apologetic over Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck actually publicly apologetic over Daredevil.
Really?
Did you know that?
Good.
I saw Gone Girl, and now, I hate to say it, I'm a Ben Affleck fan.
Are you an Affleck fan?
Yeah. And I'm looking back over his Wikipedia the other day, and I'm like, you know, he's actually a pretty awesome guy. this movie totally, like, revised every other... It's like, what's the Jay and Silent Bob Phantoms, yo? Like,
yeah. Well, look, this is my thing about Ben Affleck, and I've always said this, even when he was at his worst, is that when I saw him in Chasing Amy, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, he was amazing in that. He really, really was awesome. So I know he has it in him, but to me, you know, when you see someone like Kevin Spacey, you know, he does all these amazing things, and then he gets into Superman Returns and is garbage, that's director's fault. That's director's and writer's fault.
Sure.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I don't think the Batman v Superman will be very good, but I'm at least a little bit more receptive.
What was the one he did right? Was it The City that he directed?
The Town?
The Town.
He's directed, I think, two or three movies now.
I heard The Town was really, really awesome, and I never got a chance to see it.
And I think sometime right after his big Chasing Amy moment was like when he started appearing in everything.
Right.
Armageddon, things like that, and the public maybe turned against him some during that.
Well, but, I mean, he was on the front page of everything for a while, so...
Yeah,
you know,
especially with the Jennifer Lopez stuff and all that. Jersey Girl and Jiggly?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually went to the theater and saw Jersey Girl, the Kevin Smith movie.
Did you?
Have you seen that movie?
No, I still haven't.
Awful.
Is it really?
Yeah, really, really bad.
I've been wanting to watch it, but I keep hearing shit like that. Well, because it's Kevin Smith and
he makes
George
bad
Carlin.
Every now and then.
It's George
More
Carlin.
More often than not, maybe. George Carlin was in it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let that... Because then you'll be, like, talking shit about George Carlin.
Okay. Yeah. All right, never mind.
That's my long-winded way of getting around to talking about Gone Girl, though. Yeah. I saw that in the theater not too long ago.
Tell me about it.
Making gangbusters 2 weeks at the box office now. Gone Girl, directed by David Fincher of Fight Club. And I can't remember the name of the actress now that's the co-lead with Affleck, the Gone Girl.
Right.
The one that the premise, have you familiar with the premise?
No, not at all.
His wife goes missing, and he's blamed for it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you. I did see the trailer.
And also, Neil Patrick Harris and Tyler Perry have pretty interesting roles in it. It's pretty crazy. This movie is batshit bonkers awesome crazy. the twists in it. It
awesome.
Will, I mean, it does the kind of thing where you can predict a twist that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But they want you to make that prediction.
Make that prediction so they could
double twist it.
Yep, I got you.
And I love it when that happens.
Yep.
And the movie is just amazing because, well, if I go into it too deep, then it's just going to ruin the experience for you. But I'm sure it's like a really fucked up date movie for a lot of people. But you should totally take your wife and go see it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Shit, I'm in. Why not?
Yeah, and then maybe we could talk about it a bit more on the next episode. But.
Kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, I kind of got that that feel. What was that movie where the lady was on the plane and her daughter went missing? And it was like, where's my daughter? Right? And she was right here. And they were like, you never had a daughter. What was that?
I don't know.
Some crap. Anyway. that's what it reminded me of. But
I will say I didn't think it would be any good.
Yeah.
Like, I was just kind of like, okay, somebody wanted to go with me. I was like, all right, I'll go see it. And
sure.
Then it's kind of like sometimes when you have really low expectations, it can really.
That's what happened with us with Source Code.
Yeah.
And because I had no idea anything about it, and that ended up being a fantastic movie. So
cool. All right, so that's
on.
One of the movies.
We'll absolutely watch that.
Cool. So anyway, let's move on to reviews and quick thoughts. So I don't know what all you managed to watch. We kind of discussed some of the things that we could watch before we recorded this. I did want to speak to Agent Carter real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
It was a one shot that was, you know, a lot of these are going to be superhero things because the new fall season just started.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a lot of
superhero stuff
to talk about. Yeah. Agent Carter, though, was actually a short, you know, she was a character in the first Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was a short, I think they call it Marvel one shots, on the Iron Man 3 DVD, which is the only good part of the Iron Man 3 DVD, I thought, was the Agent Carter one shot. Really cool. Haley Atwell, I think her name is really good. Bradley Whitford was in it. You remember him from West Wing and Cabin in the Woods and all that?
I remember Cabin in the Woods. Oh, yeah. I got you.
Cool. 8 minutes. You kind of show Agent Carter or Peggy Carter being a badass. And I just thought it was really cool. I'm actually kind of interested in seeing that show because it's supposed to fill in the blank of when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes, kind of has a hiatus in the middle of the season. One of the reviews we want to do was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you ever get to that?
I actually haven't. I still haven't seen episode one. So,
well, I saw episode one of the first season, and then my second one was the season two premiere because I was, you know, kind of want to do this for the show. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
I don't get that show. It doesn't make any sense. The only cool part was that they had the Absorbing Man, who was like this, you know.
Hell yeah. He was a Hulk villain.
Yeah, and he had the wrecking ball and everything. That was cool, but and then they start going into the personal drama and backstory of the agents. And
right.
They just seem so whiny, and the plot is really convoluted because now Hydra's taken over.
Right.
Well, they disbanded S.H.I.E.L.D. because of Hydra, and now Coulson is supposed to try to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D., but the government doesn't trust him because they think he might be part of Hydra. So it's like a ragtag thing to reinstate the giant NSA bureaucrat thing. I don't know.
I'm already lost.
Well, I don't think that show's for me.
Yeah.
I did watch The Flash. It was good. I know you said you didn't like it.
What?
Tell me why you didn't like it.
Because it was Smallville with a guy running fast. That's all it was.
I didn't get the Smallville feel to it.
Oh, my God. Look, all right, so
I'm not a Flash fan, but I thought it was really good.
I am, though. I love The Flash. The Flash is one of those awesome characters that's like a focal point for that entire universe, I think. Because everything cataclysmic that happens in the DC universe, The Flash is always at the center of it for some reason or another. But, I mean, they make him pretty cool. Other than, you know, just for the fact that the guy can run fast, they somehow make him very, very important. And I can dig that. But in the show, whenever they have the very young Barry Allen and his mom's there.
I thought he did a good job.
He's already in red. And he had just gotten into a fight because some other guys are picking on this kid. And then he says...
Oh, the very beginning?
Yeah. And then he's like, I just wasn't fast enough,
Mom. Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Oh, my God! Okay.
You got to forgive
that.
Things.
No, negative. Okay, so that happens. Then they have the Large Hadron Collider, apparently, that goes haywire in the middle of Coastal City or wherever the fuck they are anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a guy shows up and I can control weather. That is begging for Freak of the Week garbage.
Part of the story is that because of this big event they actually showed... Did you watch the whole episode? And, you know, that screenshot and the computer thing, and they show all the highlighted people. So, in other words, that's going to be the one-shot origin for all the superpowered characters. I mean, like, you know, I'm fine with
that. Yeah, but we're not going to end up with, like, notable characters. We're not going to have Gorilla Grodd. We're going to have Professor Zoom.
They tease Gorilla Grodd. Did you see the tease for that? They had the broken cage and like a little plate that said Grodd.
Okay, so I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
What was the other one? Captain Cold?
Yeah, I got to admit that some of these villains, or most of the villains, are dumb. I mean,
But what I'm saying is that we're not going to get a lot of the notable characters every week. We're going to get just people with X power. Flash is going to stop them somehow.
Apparently that was Weather Wizard.
Who?
These are Flash villains.
Is that like a real Rose Gallery? Yeah. What? Okay. The Flash is awesome. His villains are dumb.
I can agree
with that.
That's
a big fucking talking monkey.
I guess maybe I had a low bar, and I just thought it was fun. Anyway, that was my thoughts on The Flash. Let's move on.
Gotham?
Yeah, so just as a background here, I mean, Gotham actually is succeeding fairly well in the ratings. At the time of this recording, there have been 4 episodes. I've seen all 4. You've seen the first
one. Just the first one, yeah.
Okay.
I just really wanted to get a feel for the show. And
What
I can say is that while there's some stupid dialogue, because they keep using these metaphors. I'm sorry, but if my parents just got shot and I'm 9 years old and some guy tells me it's dark right now, but there will be light, I will smack that motherfucker in the face.
Yeah,
that was stupid. And then another one was like, what did he say to his wife? I'm out of my depth, and she's like, but you can swim. I'm like, just fucking get off these metaphors, dude. I'm tired of them. But that being said, I can say that the production value was better than I thought it was going to be. It's better than Smallville.
It looks good.
It has a lot of room to move up, and that's kind of what I'm excited about, even though it's going to be like a whole bunch of not Batman.
The clunky dialogue gets better.
Yeah.
It depends on how sure patient a viewer people are. Like, and also, I mean, we've complained about the premise already.
Yeah.
Is that it's so much prologue.
Yeah.
If Batman doesn't show up until 7 years down the line, you're going to get tired of all these teases and all these things. Now, did you spot when you watch? I know you watched it just recently. Did you spot all the teases for the villains?
I got Edward Nygma. I got Penguin, of course. Catwoman.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy. Yeah.
The Joker thing. They're just going to tease a bunch of Joker things. There's going to be very...
Was there a Joker tease?
The idea was that the comedian could wind up... The one that...
Jesus.
Yeah, that would be really dumb. They're going to do a bunch of Joker teases, apparently, during this one. That's another thing, though, that the Joker is a character you don't want to...
If he shows up, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, apparently they got plans down the line for him, but you don't want to empathize and know everything about the Joker. The Joker is the Joker.
Right.
How much backstory do you want for the Joker?
None. That's what was awesome about the Dark Knight version of...
It's like an agent of chaos.
He just shows up out of nowhere. No one knows who he is. He has no background. He has no fingerprints. They can't trace his clothing. Like, they made specific, like, notions or mentions of that.
Yeah.
And that's what, to me, built the character, because it's all this mystery. Just a fucking weird guy in a clown makeup. That's amazing. I don't want to know... I don't give a shit that Poison Ivy's dad was an asshole on probation. His last name was Pepper. You just ruined it. You ruined it for me. It's gone. So
yeah. I'm a Batman fanboy. I think I'm forgiving. Although some Batman fanboys will watch and be like, no, this is...
Yeah.
No, I mean... I've seen the rage a little bit from some fans.
And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I really think this show has the capacity to be awesome. I really do. I just... they got to get their feet on the ground and...
All right, I got a lot more to say about this, but I'll contain myself because I could go on for a while. Here's my plan for Gotham. Introduce Batman in season 3.
Yeah.
Do a 9-year or however many years you need for Bruce to grow up, because that's the part that people want to see.
Yes.
You know? Now,
but that's the part people wanted to see about Smallville, and they didn't get that until the last episode or some crap.
So I think you can get a good 2 seasons out of the current status quo with James Gordon fighting corruption, Harvey Bullock as his partner. What'd you think of the 2 main actors?
I actually really like them. I've seen the guy that plays Bullock in a lot of places.
Donald Logue, I think his name is.
Yeah, and he always reminds me of the guy from the National Lampoon's movies, the weird uncle or cousin or whatever he is. He always reminds me of him. I can't think of it. Randy Quaid. He always reminds me of Randy Quaid. But, no, I mean, I think they both deliver really solid performances, especially the guy that plays James Gordon.
Yeah.
I was really happy with
him. So, do a jump so that we can see the stuff that they keep teasing.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I think it's just a 2-season show. I don't think it would last that long. But I like the portrayal of Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was kind of a cool ex-military
very
guy.
Very different, yeah.
The kid that plays Bruce is cool. I just don't like the idea of a kid Bruce around, or Little Wayne, as I've seen it
before. Little Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, why did you just do that?
I read it somewhere, and I had to share that.
You've ruined this show for me, Michael.
Jada Pinkett Smith has...
I love Jada, too.
She's good on that, but she also has a character where she's like has to kind of accelerate the performance all the time, larger than life.
It feels like she has to ham it up a little to fit into this character, but...
Which I want from Gotham. I want Gotham to be a little bit, crazy, like cartoonish, and then I want it to be gritty, too. If they can find a good mixture of those two things, because if it's just gritty, then it's just a cop show.
Yeah.
But if it gets too cartoony, then you get Adam West.
Right.
They have to find that balance.
Yeah.
I thought episodes 1-3 were pretty good. Number 4, I got a little bored by it.
I think the part that really stands out to me, and I just thought about this, that's kind of off-putting about it, is that it's obviously based in the 80s, and... To me, Gotham, when I think about Gotham City, I think about the first Batman movie, the Tim Burton movie, as well as the old animated cartoon. And it was kind of like this really almost 30s gangster kind of a thing feeling to it. And this doesn't have that. I mean, this is obviously, to me, it's like in the 80s. Like the cop car they have in it is very 80s.
So they have 80s style cars, and I don't think I've seen any phones that were like modern. Have you?
No. Well, no, they were all on cell phones.
Okay.
Like Jada Pinkett Smith was on a cell phone.
So maybe they're not really going to tell you the year or something. But you're saying that if they went back to like the 30s type gangsters.
I think so. I think I would like that a little bit more. But I mean, of course, that would be difficult nowadays, but...
Right.
I don't know, just that Art Deco kind of a feel from Gotham City.
Okay, and I think that was our last review.
Yep.
I also want to say that Bob's Burgers is back, and I love
Yay!
That show. Key and Peele also makes me laugh a lot. So I'm glad that a couple of fall season shows are back.
Yes.
All right, well, Jesse has a few more things to say about where we can find us.
Hey, guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.